Some days I really do feel if I am in the wrong city. Why? Yesterday, the New South Wales Planning Ministry, for which we have a lack of here in Auckland, more to the point New Zealand, tweeted that they had released a rather large document for Sydney. It is called, depending which site you look at, it's called Your Future Sydney 2031, or more specifically, a plan for growing Sydney, shortened the Sydney Plan. Sounds familiar? Well, looking at the document and comparing it to our own, it is similar to the Auckland Plan, although by name, but that's where the similarities stop. Again, like Sydney did with a transit-orientated development that I picked up on recently and is linked in the blog, Sydney has again left us for dead as an international world city competing against others and putting together a document to facilitate Sydney's growth over the next couple of decades and actually have the resources and political willpower to do it, unlike ourselves. Right down from going from the high level stuff to what they have planned out, right down to the slogan itself, Sydney just outdoes us. Needless to say, Sydney has a few, Sydney and wider New South Wales have problems of their own, such as some rather large motorway binges like we have here. But on the flip side, just as large and as ambitious, such as Sydney's West Connex motorway proposal, it also has actually very ambitious light rail, bus, and heavy rail plans that it will carry out. For example, Sydney is about to embark on building its second, that is correct, second rail harbour crossing, with even sponsors getting on board, wanting the stations for that second harbour crossing outside their doorstep because they know the patronage, to the point these sponsors are most likely to are willing to even chip in to pay for the tunnel on guarantees of the patronage. While Auckland can't, again, excuse the language, can't get even its collective shit together and get one built known as the North Shore Line by 2030. That's how far behind the eight ball Auckland really is in its transport planning and effectively its wider planning if the Auckland Plan is anything to go by. Auckland's slogan, thanks to the mayor, is Auckland, the world's most livable city. For Sydney, it is Your Future Sydney 2031, which is the goal of being a strong global city, a great place to live. With the overarching goal, Sydney is truly one of the greatest cities in the world, and a plan for growing Sydney will keep it that way. The plan sets a path that will ensure Sydney-siders have greater access to the things they value, great outdoor spaces, greater housing choice, shorter commutes, and world-class job opportunities. From that alone, from that introductory page, Sydney's plan leaves Auckland's for pretty much, it just blows it out of the water, straight out of the trunk, and I haven't even nutted down into the highlights yet, nor the plan, nor the commission that will execute this, nor the getting involved part, nor the resources. We get to the highlights, which is the part I'll be covering tonight before I start nutting down into the plan over the next 18 months. Believe me, there's that much material, it will take that long to go through it properly. So let's just take a quick look at the highlights with a quick focus in on another highlight, one of the highlights that caught my attention the most, maybe because I used it in initial unitary plan feedback before sidelining it a bit in the submission round due to lack of council support at the time. So the first highlight is communities. Sydney will be a city of strong, healthy and connected communities, which would be backed up by housing, which it is expensive in Sydney, but Sydney is going to try and will offer its citizens homes that meet changing needs and lifestyles. To which in its economy, its engine room, Sydney will run as a dual CBD city. Sydney will deliver more jobs closer to homes with a world-class services and a strong economy. What it didn't mention there was also continue to support its industrial, and by the looks of it, its heavy manufacturing industrial base out at Parramatta in the west, where the second official CBD will be more focused on. Not forgetting the environment, Sydney's spectacular natural environment will be preserved and celebrated, remembering Australia does not have a Reserve Management Act as we do. So this will be quite interesting to see. And in delivering the plan, Sydney will introduce a Greater Sydney Commission, which is the following. The New South Wales State Government has established the independent Greater Sydney Commission to help plan for the future of Sydney. In partnership with the councils, the community and stakeholders, the commission will oversee the implementation of a plan for growing Sydney. It will look at the big picture of what's needed to be done to build vibrant communities so Sydneysiders get most out of their neighbourhoods, their region and their city. This will ensure everyone has access to things they value like parks, hospitals, public transport, jobs and housing. So Sydney is, and New South Wales is going to have this overarching commission to see the execution of the Sydney plan, while for us we are reliant on for good, for bad and for worse, democratically elected council and its bureaucracy, where the elected representatives get voted in and out every 3 years. If when you go to the Sydney site, and I've linked it up, you go to the places, your area, and it shows an interactive map with a legend down the site. It's actually more simpler but in more detail than what our Auckland plan layout has, insofar that whereas we have the city centre, the metropolitan zones, the town centres, the local centres, the neighbourhood centres, and the respective zones and other transit pieces, Sydney's nutted it down to more simplistic but more strategic looking. If I go from the bottom up, because it's easy, and you can see where it's road, motorway and transport investigations ago, motorway extensions, transit ways, road upgrades, light rail extensions, heavy rail extensions, rapid transit extensions, CBD and Southeast Rail, Inner West Light Rail, parks and reserves, metropolitan, urban and rural areas, and then some of the more visionary stuff like transport gateways and enterprise corridors, global economic corridors, the Western Sydney employment area, which would be like our more economic side of the Southern Initiative, so Parramatta. And its western area would be the equivalent of Southern Auckland in all aspects, including industry, social deprivation, economic base in its manufacturing, its own city centre, and population mix and dynamics. Moving further up, we've got local renewal opportunities yet to be identified, urban renewal corridor. Heck, we don't even have that in the area plans that we do have, a rather lackluster. Priority precinct, that's something to look into. Urban investigation area, I think that would be the equivalent of our future urban zones, looking at the map and where it's pointing. Then we move up into the big stuff, whereas we have city centre, town centre, metropolitan centre, town centre, local centre, neighbourhood centre. This plan is more focused on the big stuff. Strategic centres, which all of the two higher ones, regional city centre and CBD, are classified as strategic centres, but these have more, and if they're just the red circles on their own, they're more locally contained to a set area. If I was just clicked on one to the northwest of Parramatta, it's got Blacktown. It's identified as a strategic centre, to retain its commercial core, provide capacity for mixed-use development, and support hospital-related land uses. So you can see why that's a strategic centre there. That would be close to a town centre with a strong precinct over the top of it. Then we go to the regional city centres, which would be the equivalent of our metropolitan centres. So go to the west of Parramatta, and I've got good old Penrith. It is, again, a strategic centre, but it is a regional city centre. To retain its commercial core in Penrith is required for long-term employment growth, provide capacity. It's the same as Blacktown, but it's to also utilise the land around. I'll see if I can pick up another one that's a little bit better. Let's pick up Liverpool. Commercial core, mixed use, health related, so there must be a hospital nearby. Light rail to Parramatta CBD. So they must serve sub-regional areas by the looks of it. I'll click on the other one that popped up. No, that was Penrith again. MacArthur. Strategic plan, commercial cause. This one's an educated one, so I can see why they come up. They mightn't have worked on the regional city centre part. City centre part is... yet, although if I zoom in, let's just take a look. They're not pointing at Sydney. I'm just working through the map as you will do yourself. No, they haven't, effectively. But if you look at the map and the regional, especially if you zoom out or even if you zoom in, you'll notice something quite peculiar that I've picked up on before. Two CBDs, Sydney itself and Parramatta. Where have we heard this before? Auckland. Auckland City Centre, Manukau City Centre. The difference. Sydney and New South Wales is going to officially recognise its second CBD, Parramatta, and build it as such, whereas we've shunned Manukau City Centre down to a metropolitan centre and having to share it with the likes of Papakura, Botany, Sylvia Park, Newmarket, Newlyn, Henderson, Westgate, Takapuna and Albany. Yet Manukau is extremely different to the other nine metropolitan centres, just as Parramatta is very different to the regional city regional city centre and the smaller strategic centres. So a quick look at Greater Parramatta and what's come up for it in the plan. The Greater Parramatta has the potential to reach 100,000 jobs over the next 20 years. It's going to be on comparison to all of southern Auckland, especially its industrial base in Manukau city centre. But with Parramatta, which is to be recognised as the second CBD. Thus, Sydney is going to be running a dual core. Greater Parramatta has been identified as a strategic centre in the plan. The priorities of the strategic centre are to work with the council to recognise the plan and plan Greater Parramatta as a transformational. Sorry, that tongue-tied place. Where have we heard that before? Oh, look, Manukau. Which would allow to plan Greater Parramatta as Sydney's second CBD and Western Sydney's number one location for employment, health and education services, supported by a vibrant mix of land uses and culture activity with the Parramatta River foreshore as a focus for recreational activities. Oh, hello, where have we heard this before? Manukau. With the super clinic on its southern extreme flanks, AUT on its western flanks, Manukau Harbour not in Manukau city centre itself, but accessible through Puanui Road to the west. Mixed land uses, well, it's metropolitan zone in Manukau, so it supports the mixed use. Culture activity with the churches, MIT, the mall, and the cinemas, and Rainbow's End. And other recreational activities, passive or active, such as Rainbow's End or Hayman Park. So the similarities are there. As we go on, to provide capacity for long-term employment growth, like Manukau was, particularly in its CBD. To provide capacity for additional mixed-use development in Parramatta CBD and surrounding precincts, including offices and retail in Parramatta CBD, health services in Westmere, and education hub. We've got two, AUT in the north, MIT to the west, and a new university of Western Sydney campus, which would be our AUT equivalent. A stadium, well, we've got the Velodrome and the Vodafone Event Centre, and as well as housing, which for us would be the apartments. To improve transport connections in Greater Parramatta, well, that would be the Manukau Line and the New South Auckland Bus Network, as well as State Highways 1 and 20. To enhance the role of the Parramatta Transport Interchange as the major bus and rail and future light rail interchange of Western Sydney. Well, ours got put back 6 years due to funding issues. And we can't even get a SkyTrain off the ground to link the airport to Manukau, out to Botany and back up to Panmure to link the Eastern Line. To improve walking and cycling connections between the Parramatta CBD and Greater Parramatta precincts, which would be Southern Auckland for us, Parramatta River and their surrounding area. Well, with all the budget cuts we've just got, you can see why Sydney's about to leave us for dead and the Parramatta CBD is about to leave poor old Manukau for dead, despite its history and what we could do with it. And so, again, Sydney has managed to pull one off, despite its shortcomings, because every city has its shortcomings, including us. But Sydney has managed to pull one off, and we're left head-scratching on how the heck do they pull one over us again. As I've told the council before, we are an international world city meant to be competing against the big cities of the world like Sydney, yet Sydney just, with this, on this plan alone, runs us over as is. Because while the mayor tries and gets us to be the world's most livable, if not the world's most expensive city, Sydney is planning to become a strong global city and a great place to live. In the next podcast on Sydney's plan, I will be going down the highlights in order listed on their website. So I will be starting with their communities, in which Sydney will be a city of strong, healthy, and connected communities.